And of course, if cities are going to build more green buildings, they're going to need architects to design them. That's where Peter Pfeiffer comes in. He's an architect based in Austin, Texas.
And Pfeiffer's been designing sustainable buildings for 3 decades. He told me when it comes to green building, there are a few basic rules he follows.
I think the overriding principle behind sustainable architecture is to reduce consumption. Consumption of materials, consumption of water, and probably most importantly, consumption of energy. And then if you're looking at consumption of energy, which is so important because it affects other things like air pollution and global security and those things, then we start off by designing the house or the building to respond to its particular site and its climate. It's easier controlling solar heat gain with your southern and eastern, the sun that's in the southern sky and maybe the eastern sky. It's very difficult to control excess solar heat gain in the western sky or the afternoon. So we orientate our windows to take advantage of the southern and easterly light and minimize exposure to the westerly light. That's just one example of a site-specific solar design principle that has a large effect on the comfort and energy efficiency of any building or home. And oftentimes when you do that, you discover something interesting, and that's that they don't look all that differently than buildings that were built before the days of air conditioning.
Are you almost saying that maybe we kind of had this concept down a while back and we just lost sight of it as we became this air-conditioned nation?
Oh, absolutely. Houses that were done before the days of air conditioning had broad overhangs to shade their windows in the summertime, but still allowed sunlight to come in the wintertime. We would put our porches on the side of the house where the prevailing breezes were known to come from so that we could get the benefit of that breeze. And we would place our stair towers or stairways on the opposite side of the house so they could create a thermal siphon to help draw the air through the house. You open a window at the top of the stairs, and that would help draw the air through the house.
Green is a really big buzzword right now, but in the past, how have Americans responded to the idea of having a green home?
Well, there's a lot of misinterpretation of what that term means. In my view, it means certainly doing a home that saves energy. But probably what is more important to a lot of our clients is that the home will be healthier to live in and the building will be healthier to live in if it's a green building. That's a really big deal because there's a direct relationship, it seems, between the amount of respiratory illnesses you see in American children and the fact that they're mostly being brought up in air-conditioned homes.
Could you explain a bit more that relationship between air conditioning and respiratory illness, and on what evidence do you base that connection?
The American Lung Association has got quite a bit of an educational campaign going out about this, as does the American Society of Heating and Refrigerating Engineers, ASHRAE it's called. It's also my own experience over the past 30 years. Air conditioning systems, if they're oversized, do not properly dehumidify a house. People then tend to run the air conditioner even colder to get rid of that humidity in the home. And oftentimes you end up creating the conditions for mold to grow in the walls then, because you end up bringing warm, humid air from the outside through the leaky walls, and they condense somewhere inside the wall cavity. Now, this is interesting because this runs very counterintuitive to what you've heard for 20 years, which is, oh, these tight houses are making people sick. It's air conditioning in a loosely built house that's making people sick.
So it sounds as if there's quite a strong health motivation in building green. What are some of the other factors that are propelling people to design more sustainable homes?
One-third of all the greenhouse gas emissions is because of operation of buildings and homes. I think it's also obvious that greenhouse gas emissions are causing some shifts in our climate, and one-third of that problem is associated with what we as architects and builders do. So I think we've got a tremendous responsibility to do something better and differently. One of the ways you do that is you make your homes and buildings consume less energy. I mean, here's a simple example. You replace your typical incandescent light, one light, with one fluorescent light. Just one light bulb with one fluorescent light bulb will save a quarter of a ton of coal from being consumed at our local power plant.
How does the cost of building green compare with more traditional forms of architecture?
The cost is an interesting question. Do you mean construction cost, or do you mean the cost to own the house? Let's take a metal roof. If you put a metal roof on your house, it'll be the last one you put on. But more importantly, it'll shed a lot of heat and give you an insurance discount. But it's going to add, let's say, $10,000 to the construction cost of your home. But Alex, what if it saves you $100 a month in utilities and insurance discounts. It's actually the less expensive home to own.
Peter Pfeiffer is a partner at Barley and Pfeiffer Architects in Austin, Texas. Thank you so much.
Thank you.